Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. Welcome to Bob and Yurt Live. I'm the pastor of Denver Bible Church. It's an honor to be on the air talking with you. Thank you to Doug McBurney yesterday for filling in. We're getting ready to go to Indianapolis for our Global Flood Seminar at the Airport Radisson. We have people registered coming from 8 different states in the conference room that was reserved. We had to up it to the larger ballroom because we had too many people register, which is a wonderful problem to have. So it should be great Saturday afternoon. Please come on out. If you could get to Indianapolis by this Saturday at noon, just go to our website, kgov.com, for information. It's also advertised atop youngearth.com, that really fun website. Now, later in the program today, we're hoping to have Ray Comfort on. Ray Comfort is a great evangelist. His latest foray into the evolution creation debate is a video he's produced. I watched it with Cheryl and our teenage boys. We had so much fun watching it. It's only about a half hour long. It is Evolution versus God. And he interviews all these different biology majors, geology majors at universities, and some of the professors. And for example, one of the most famous atheists in the world, P.Z. Myers. And it's absolutely hysterical to hear their answers. They're so supposed to be so knowledgeable, so sophisticated in their understanding of not only the world, but of evolution theory. And it just collapses on P.Z. Myers. It's so fun to watch. So hopefully we'll have Ray Comfort on the show just in about 10 minutes or so. Also, since Doug was in the studio yesterday, I wasn't able to do that story. You know, the story from the If I Knew You Were a Homo file, where the Colorado judge has ruled that this bakery owned by a Christian man has to bake a wedding cake for homosexuals. That story is right out of the If I Knew You Were a Homo, I'd Have Baked You a Cake file. And we have that contrasted with, remember in November, there was a ruling in Iowa where a state court ruled against a Christian business owner, and they said that he is not allowed to talk about God to his own employees. You remember that one? The owner cannot talk to his own employees about his belief in God. So now, if you are an atheist, evolutionist, if you are just a liberal Christian, right? You are faced with a question and you just try to be creative enough to come up with an answer. Well, what should happen? What should happen? And you make something up. If you stand before God and you recognize that God has revealed himself to us in the Bible, then you come from a biblical perspective. And then it's a lot easier to answer these questions, like, does a business owner have a right to talk to his employees about God? Can he say, you know, it's important that we believe in God and trust God, because otherwise we might just steal from one another, because God said, thou shalt not steal. And that's why we don't steal from the customer. That's why I don't steal from you as my employee. I pay you what we've agreed upon. And that's why you shouldn't steal from our customers or from me, the owner. And so does the owner have a right to say that? Well, the owner has a right to fire people if he doesn't want them working for him. So then by extension, of course, he could talk about his faith in God with his employees, because if they object, they could either quit or he could fire them. And that's perfectly within his purview. Remember, Jesus said, it's my money. Don't I have the right to do with what I want with my money? That comes right out of the gospel. Remember, he told a parable. And in the parable, this guy pays a group of workers, laborers, a certain rate to work all day long, a day's wage to work a full day. Other guys come 3 days, 3 hours later. He pays them the same rate. Other guys come at noon, at midday. He pays them the same rate, which means like double the hourly rate. Other guys show up just an hour before quitting time, and he says, hey, I'll pay you a shekel too. I'll pay you a day's wages to work for 1 hour. And then people being liberal or being envious, people object it. And Jesus, through, you know, the mouth of the businessman in the parable, says, hey, didn't I pay you exactly what you and I agreed? We agreed. You said you'd work for this many hours for this pay, and didn't I pay you what I said I would? You know, is your heart evil because I'm good? Because I want to pay these people more than I pay you. Why should that make you envious? Why don't you just be happy for those people? Right? That bitterness and envy. And Jesus said, can I not do with my money what I choose to do? So that's not an absolute. You can't commit a crime. You can't use your money and pay somebody to go kill your neighbor and say, well, I have every right to do that, because you're using your money to commit a crime. But Jesus, it should be obvious to everyone, even before the New Testament was written, that a businessman has a right to pay some people more than others if he wants to. And if he wants to talk about his faith. So if you work for a major corporation and you're a flaming homo, you tell everybody about your flames, everybody. If you're a Christian and they even find out that you're thinking that the homo is wrong, they will send you to sensitivity class where you're going to have to think correctly. And if you don't think correctly, they will find a way to fire you from fill in the blank. You know, United Airlines or whatever. Just fill in the blank. And so here you have the owner. This is in Iowa. This was out reported in the Des Moines Register November 12th. You have a business owner who is not allowed to talk to his own employees about God. And you have a baker who has to bake a wedding cake for homos. And it's, if I knew you were a homo, I'd have baked you a cake. Remember that song from the 50s? If I knew you were a homo, I'd have baked you a cake. How'd that go? Oh, if I knew you were coming, I'd have baked you a cake. Well, nowadays, yeah, everything is sick these days. So we have the moral freefall of our nation, our culture. And a lot of it is because people believe that they're animals and that there's no difference between them and animals. In fact, you could see that also on Ray Comfort's new DVD, Evolution versus God. In the Wall Street Journal, just 2 days ago, a few days ago, there was an article titled, it was on Saturday, America the Vulgar. And in this article by Lee Siegel, he tells a story about his own young kids, 7-year-old son and his 3-year-old daughter. And he was on his computer, the dad, and his 7-year-old son came up and was looking over his shoulder at the computer screen. And he said, Dad, what's celebrity sex? Now think about that, right? So here's the little boy, Dad, what's celebrity sex? And he said that that his son mispronounced the word celebrity, but he spoke the word sex as if he had been using it all his life. And the dad told a little lie. He said, celebrity six, and he real quickly closed the computer screen. And then he figured, well, I'll take him downstairs into the safety of our living room so that I could continue what? He didn't say, but looking at celebrity sex articles, I guess, sort of embarrassing perspective that Lee Siegel's coming from. And he says, but no such luck. His 3-year-old sister had gotten her hands on my wife's iPhone that was charging on a table next to the sofa. Now, in our home, we keep our computers where everybody could see them. We have Net Nanny and Covenant Eyes. We have Covenant Eyes for Macs and NetNanny for PCs. And we do everything we can, not only to protect the kids, but to protect the parents from all the smut on the internet. And he says that his little three-year-old sister had gotten his wife's iPhone, which happened to be charging on the table next to the sofa. And just by tapping the icons on the screen, she brought up an image of some, you know, MTV. Do they still have MTV? That's still out there. Some MTV female singer who was barely clothed in a suggestive pose. And so, and he said, and that's what it was like all weekend. And this was a typical weekend. He said, my wife and I are watching what we think are friendly TV programs while the kids play in the back of the room. And TV ads come on with all but naked couples. And the F word pops out of TV programs. And so he's lamenting, and this is in the Wall Street Journal. You'd think you'd be listening to Bob and Yurt Live, but it's in the Wall Street Journal, and they're saying it's nothing but an endless promotion of sex, sex, sex. When did the culture become so coarse? Hey, it's been steady, right? It's obviously it's been steady. And so this the moral freefall that our culture is in is working to destroy these kids. And so we're to protect our kids. And eventually, kids become adults. They're emancipated. They make every decision for themselves. But between now and then, it's our responsibility to protect them from the onslaught of sexual, of the seduction that is our culture and the advertisements, to protect them from that. So that's our goal as parents, to protect our kids from all this immorality. And then, you know, they're going to grow up. They'll be on their own and they'll be able to what? Go on the internet and go to any web page they want. But when they're a child, they're especially vulnerable to forming addictions. You know, the way neurologists have studied people addicted to pornography, and they said it's like crack cocaine, and it's the most severe form of this destructive reinforcement cycle where people look at pornography and their brain produces endorphins, and they are cementing in their hardwiring this pleasure response cycle to the point where they have a very hard time having a normal, healthy, romantic relationship with an actual real human being. And they could practically map the way a person's brain becomes hardwired to pornographic images. And so when kids are young, they're even more susceptible to that. So that they, it's like they can't have pleasure unless they're somehow getting in trouble or doing something wrong. And so we have this obligation that God has given us to protect our children, including from the sexual immorality that our culture is drowning in. And one part of that is because people say that we're just animals. We've evolved from animals. And if animals do it, it's okay for us to do it. I mentioned at the beginning of the show that my wife and I and our three teenage boys, we have seven boys altogether, but the three still at home, we sat down over the weekend and we watched Ray Comfort's video, Evolution Versus God. What a great video. I'd like to continue with this. Hey, and to let you know, some people have asked, when they go to our website, kgov.com, and they'll see our show normally runs about a half hour, and sometimes they'll see a show that's a minute or two shorter, and we might have a local ad that we remove, for example, from the upload, not to waste everybody's time. But so my wife, Cheryl, and I, and our three teenage boys who are still at home, we have seven boys altogether, we watched this DVD from Ray Comfort over the weekend, Evolution versus God. We had so much fun. Our kids were cheering and clapping and laughing. It was so fun. And so, Ray Comfort, what an honor to have you back on Bob and Yurt Live. Hello, Ray. How are you?
I'm doing good. How are you doing?
Well, I'm doing really well. We so enjoyed your video. Thank you for producing that.
Oh, we enjoyed doing it. We felt that God gave us something to give to parents who sent their kids to university, and the kids come back and say, evolution is scientific, the Bible's false, I'm an atheist, I'm living with a girlfriend, sorry. Mm. And the parents can now say, sit down and watch this or you're not getting dinner.
And, Ray, what was fun, I took notes while we watched the video, and it was so great because you had students in these universities who were biology students or geology students, but you also talked to PhD adults, including one very famous evolutionist that we have sparred with in the past, P.Z. Myers. So P.Z. Myers, I assume that he would be ready with powerful answers to your questions, but that never came across.
No, P.Z. Myers thinks we're all fish. And he was gasping like one on a desert floor when I asked him for proof of evolution. Because there isn't any proof of Darwinian evolution. It's all received by blind faith.
Yes. Well, and also Jack Horner, who was the paleontologist on all three sets of the Jurassic Park movies, and his Museum of the Rockies in Montana State, that's where they dug up the first famous soft tissue T-Rex. Well, Jack Horner famously believes, as so many evolutionists do, that chickens, like you go to the store and you buy chicken, they believe that chickens are dinosaurs.
Yes, and that's not true because they'd be tougher, I'm sure. It's just, this is it. We live in a lunatic asylum called Earth, a godless Earth, and people believe crazy things and they think we're crazy. They've got no level to measure craziness. We have. We know that God is sanity, and when you receive the Spirit of God, you receive power, love, and a sound mind. But we're so thrilled that it's had over 1 million views on YouTube, and we just want Christians to share all over the place. It's free. And it's, can I mention the website?
Oh, please do, Ray, yes.
evolutionversusgod.com. It's a free viewing. It's very interesting. It starts off, you don't really know where it's going to go. And that's what we want. We want non-believers to watch it because it contains the gospel. Because I'm not out to convince people evolution's not true. I'm out to see them saved from God's wrath on Judgment Day. I want everyone to have everlasting life. And so it contains the gospel. And that's essential for us in anything we do because the gospel is the power of God to salvation.
Well, Ray, one of our listeners saw it when it first came out and called us and said, what can we do to support Ray Comfort and get this out? So we talked it through, and he purchased 500 copies of the DVD that we have at our studio, and we are giving them out as gifts to encourage people to realize that Christians don't have to be apologetic or defensive. We need to be on the offense because we have the truth, and those who are trying to explain how we could exist apart from God, they truly do not have answers.
That's true, and there's nothing as silly as atheism. To believe that nothing created everything is a scientific impossibility, but that's what an atheist believes. They even try and redefine the word nothing. They'll say nothing is actually something,
right?
Which confirms we do live in a lunatic asylum. And I thank God for plucking us out of it and bringing us into his kingdom.
Yeah, we have.
What's different from this video is the line that it takes. Usually Christian videos, we take our experts and we interview them and ask them what they think of evolution, and they tell us what's wrong with it. That's fine.
Yeah.
It's great, but this one is different. We go to the experts at UCLA and USC, and we hold their feet to the fire and press them for evidence of evolution, and they can't give any.
Yeah.
And it's so encouraging because they embrace evolution. For them, it's a hill to die on because of the fact that it gives them license to sin. Mm. If you are just a primate, then any sexual prowlings you do, any fornication, pornography, adultery, isn't morally wrong. It's merely you as a primate trying to procreate your species. And what this video does is it throws a huge wet blanket on it. And if you look at the comments on YouTube, there's like 110,000 comments, and they're very volatile. It's a polarizing video. Either people absolutely hate it, or they really love it, depending on what side of the kingdom you're on. Mm.
One of the students, I think it was a student, answered a question you asked. You asked, show me an example of evolution, one kind changing into another. And I think he mentioned that famous Lenski experiment with the bacteria. You know, they've been watching bacteria now for 50,000 generations. And you asked the question, well, what has it evolved into? It's still E. coli. It's still bacteria. But even when they claim that, well, look, it's gotten better. Well, it's living in a petri dish, and it doesn't have to face all the challenges of the real world. And so there are mutations where it could actually lose part of its functionality so that it couldn't function as well in the real world, but it might be 2% more efficient at using its food. And they'll say, well, look, it's evolved after 50,000 years. It's 2% more efficient at using food. Yeah, in the same petri dish. Put it out in the real world and it might die because it's lost part of its functionality. So it's real fun when we Christians could take the strongest arguments of the evolutionist and show that they actually contradict Darwinism.
You know, how would you like to spend your life staring at bacteria generation after generation to try and justify your sinful lifestyle? It's just crazy.
Yeah.
To say there's no God when, you know, I was walking through a mall the other day and I was just listening to "O Come Let Us Adore Him." They were playing and just thinking, you know, I know Christmas is a pagan institution and I don't worship Santa Claus. I just love the fellowship and the fun and the family and the food at Christmas and the atmosphere. And all these silly atheists run around trying to get Christ out of Christmas is so stupid. What are they going to sing about if you're an atheist? You've got nothing to sing about. You've got no purpose for existence. You don't know where you came from. You don't know where you're going to. As Christians, we know we've been created by God for his pleasure, and our pleasure is his pleasure. That's the purpose of our existence. And we know what happens after we die because God's granted everlasting life to all those who have repented of their sins and are trusting in Jesus. So they've got nothing to sing about. We have. And so, atheists, get your hands off Christmas.
Well, evolutionversusgod.com, I'm at that website right now. Very encouraging. The YouTube video, having over 1 million views, that's quite an accomplishment. And so we plan to embed your video in our show summary for today's program at our website. We do something called Real Science Radio. And, Ray, you talked about a universe from nothing. Dr. Lawrence Krauss made that idea famous. He wrote a book. He's got a Discovery Channel special on. And we had him on for 2 shows debating, and they have redefined what nothing means. So they will claim to the general public that they proved you could have a universe from nothing. Lawrence Krauss has admitted in the Atlantic Monthly that he wasn't talking about nothing, but he said, how are you supposed to sell books if you have a technical title? So they will lie to even their own readers because they don't have a God that they're answering to.
And that's a scary situation. A wise man once said, most I fear God, next I fear him who fears him not. So if a man doesn't fear God, he'll lie to you, he'll steal from you, and he'd even kill you if he knew he could get away with it. Mm. And that's the path we're going on as a nation. We've lost the fear of God, and the men of God that stand behind pulpits need to become sons of thunder and begin thundering out those commandments and saying, that is the absolute God's going to judge with. We're morally responsible. He's rich in mercy. He provided a Savior so we could escape the damnation of hell and let the fear of God come back into God's people. And God's people need to spread that across America and bring this nation to the foot of the cross.
Ray, you asked a couple of the students if your dog was drowning and your neighbor was drowning and you only had time to save one, who would you choose? And to watch these, you know, young adults wrestling with that question and typically coming down on the side of they'd save their dog.
Yeah, it's very, very sad. You know, just on a lighter side, I went to Dog Beach in Huntington Beach where there's a whole stretch where they allow dogs on the beach, and I try to get some nice video of dogs. And the dogs are so cute, we couldn't use them because we could understand why people would want to save their dog compared to the nasty neighbor next door. But it really is a sign of the times when people care more about animals than they do human beings. It's a sign that we've lost the fear of God and that so many people have been seduced into believing We're nothing but primates. We are just animals, and we're not made in God's image.
Mm-hmm. I used your question and asked a version of it to a cousin, a young girl. Her father's an attorney. And in front of him, I asked her, if you could only save a baby or a tree. You have either a baby or a tree. This is like an 8-9-year-old girl goes to public school. Which would you save? One or the other is going to die. You could only either save a baby or a tree. And she said the tree.
Goodness me.
And her uncle, who is a famous criminal attorney back east, he and he's also an evolutionist, he was trying to get her to change her answer. He's saying, oh, it's a cute little baby. Come on, who would you save? And he couldn't comprehend why she would say the tree, but she's growing up in a godless education system, and she's taught that we're just animals, and really, we don't have any value.
Yeah, and it's men like Richard Dawkins and Lawrence Krauss who have been Pied Pipers that have come across to our university students and convinced many of them that they are nothing but primates and that there's no real value to human life. And they're playing a tune that this generation loves to hear because men love darkness rather than light. But I'm so thankful that we have the gospel that transforms the human heart. Mm-hmm. But when I became a Christian, in an instant I became pro-life. In an instant I became one man, one woman in marriage.
Yes.
The sky looked different. The trees looked different. The flowers looked different.
Yes.
Because God had given me a new heart with new desires.
Ray, when was that? Yeah. When did you come to the Lord?
That was 1972, April the 24th, 1:30 in the morning.
Oh, my. For me, it was September 1973 through campus life. Came to the Lord and have very similar experience with God opening my eyes and my heart. Ray Comfort, thank you so much. What an honor to have you on the show.
Thank you, Bob.
God bless you. All right, the website is Evolution Versus God. Ours is kgov.com. And the seminar this Saturday in Indy. God bless you.